Hello and welcome to another edition of the Game Sports Podcast powered by 91N. We have two segments for you today. In the first segment, I will be joined by Connor Henderson, and we're going to get into all the news around the diamond, including the MLB trade deadline and the MLB draft.
And then Dave and I will be breaking down the SummerSlam show that was, and we'll see how I fare in a new blind ranking.
Let's go. Booyah, and welcome to another edition of the Game Sports Podcast. It is your host, David McKaig Jr., and I'm joined right off the hop in our Strike Zone segment by the one, the only, the Rookie of the Year, if you know, you know, Connor Henderson. Connor, my friend, great to see you. It's been a couple weeks to near a month since I last saw you on here. I've been having to talk about baseball solo, but I'm very glad you're able to join us here tonight.
Yeah, Dave, I've missed you a lot. I'm running out of every reason in the book as to how I can't get on the show. And I'm really excited. Today we get to talk about MLB draft, MLB trade deadline. We're going to talk about some cool injury news with pitchers, Paul Skenes. And then I heard that we were even going to do some top five blind rankings, which is the new hot thing on TikTok. And I've never done it before, but you mentioned you did it with Parr on your hockey show. So I'm excited to get that rolling as well.
Oh man, it's so fun doing those, and I gotta give credit. I'm not gonna say it's my idea because it wasn't. Like you just said, it's on TikTok. There's a lot of good podcasters out there, and I'm no free ads, okay? But I will mention I got the idea from Empty Netters. Okay, that was the podcast. I will give them credit. There's a lot of people that do them, right? There's a lot of podcasts that do them for hockey, for any podcast that you're doing. But obviously, here on the game, we talk about all sports, and obviously, our heavy season right now is baseball. So I thought, why wouldn't we do something with Connor? The intelligent Connor Henderson to bring up a blind ranking and do different ones each segment. And to add, Connor, it is a holiday show, and you tend, and we tend to always have holiday shows. Okay. Like a civic holiday here in Canada. And we always, it's either Valentine's Day, which isn't really a holiday, but you know what, it is on our show. It could be Labor Day, you know, but I'm hoping that you're going to be on a couple more times before Labor Day comes around the corner. But I thought I'd throw that in there and you get a good little laugh knowing that we're together on a holiday.
I appreciate that. We found every holiday in the book. At this point, I'm just going to start Googling, like it's going to be National French Friday or something. And we're going to be like, oh, well, classic, another Strike Zone edition.
We can do that and eat it for French fries while we're recording. I know people would love to see us eating it. Getting that salt all over us. They would love it.
Oh yeah.
All right, let's get into it. I want you to say, you said off air that you had a story to tell me about Vlad Jr.'s about a bat, and Vlad Jr. was in that topic. Shoot, give us that. I wanted you to wait so the listeners can hear this story. So okay. And the viewers,
so
tell us.
Yeah, so Dave hasn't heard this yet. It's a cute, it's small. I'm at the Comerica Park seeing the Tigers play against the Blue Jays, and I'm there with one of my closest friends. Both of our girlfriends are there. And there's this guy who's selling used bats, and he's got all these players and they're certified and, you know, they've played in the game, and we're walking by, and oh my God, they had the sickest looking, like cherry kind of oak red sort of Vlad Guerrero Jr., two Vlad Guerrero Jr. bats, $350 a pop. And I was sitting there doing the conversions like, what is that? It's like $500. Can I even get that across customs? Like on a half day trip? Like, and we started joking. We're like, hey, wouldn't it be funny if we, what if we, and we just, and we were like, me and my friend, we were like talking ourselves into buying while our girlfriends are standing in the back. Like, what are these guys doing? Like, these guys are nuts. And then at some point, something awoke in me where I'm like, I'm not even a Jays fan. Why am I? I just, it was one of those like I just thought it was like such a like a sick thing. It's so uncharacteristic of me because like I'm the biggest, you know, penny pincher you'll ever see in your life. But we didn't end up buying the bats, but I was so close, so close. And my friend was fully on board to do it. Like we were ready to dive full bat. Tigers won the game. It was a good game. Fun time.
Honestly, it when it comes down to conversion, okay, for those of you that know, the Game Sports Podcast is based in Sioux, Ontario, but our border town is Sioux, Michigan, okay, and just in case you didn't know that, and we experience a lot of that conversion, and as much as of a joy it is to go across the border to buy things, get gas, when it comes to converting a bat like that over, it's a lot of money to spend. That is a lot of dough to spend, okay? But I love that because you were thinking about buying a Vlad jersey, okay? Or Vlad baseball bat, okay? And it would have looked really nice across here or something, Connor. I'm not gonna lie, it would have looked really nice in your background, but I love that story. You know, I kind of wish you would have surprised me today and pulled it up.
If I did, yeah, I know. I've got a game used Connor Henderson, and it's worth about $20 in my bag right over there. So I'll stick to that one for now.
Oh, you can put that up, and we'll put a picture of you when you were a renegade / panda. If you know, you know. Okay, we'll talk. Maybe if we have time, we'll joke about that at the end. Oh, that's a great story, Connor. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. It'll make me know that I got to bring some extra cash to ball games because I might be dumb enough to buy a bat. That's where my wife is probably in the background rolling her eyes right now.
I'm going to call her. Don't do it.
Okay. We didn't get a chance to talk too much about the trade deadline preview, or we just didn't have the time. I did my own little thing last episode with Parr, and he heard more of me just kind of rant about what the Blue Jays should trade. And can I be honest? I'm gonna gloat. They traded everybody. That I said. They traded Turner. They traded IKF. They traded Kikuchi. They traded, I don't know why I'm drawing a blank right now. Yeah, Kiermaier. I did mention if they can get a return for him, let's do that. Garcia already happened at that point of the recording. But guys that I said that they would trade that either had no years left or 1 year of control, they may trade. And they did. So I'm going to gloat and say, yep, I was right. And to those saying that they were going to trade Vlad or Bo, I knew that wasn't going to happen. Okay, I am surprised about one guy, and I know they said that they weren't going to trade him, but I thought it was a lie, was Chris Bassett. I thought that we're going to consider Bassett because I think it's a really big buyer's market, and someone could use someone like Bassett, and the return they could have gotten could have been quite significant. Just look what they got for Kikuchi. Somebody with term to boot, I think, would have been a good idea. And I know that's people text me saying, why didn't they trade Springer? Look, contract is way too much. And you know what? He's hard to say. He's a glued guy. He's a glue guy on that team. They love him on the team. He's a fan favorite, believe it or not. As much as he may get booed or criticized, that means we love you in Toronto. If you get booed and talk about a lot, deep down, we love you. But we're going to talk about the Jays in a moment because I know they're going to flood a good amount of this detail because they did invade the deadline a little bit. But there were other moves around there too, Connor. So that's a trade deadline. I thought we'd get into that first and then go to the draft. Kind of a little backward swap there, but kind of wanted to start with the hot news with the deadline. So I hope you're good with that because I know.
Yeah, that's totally the right way to go because the trade deadline, for those who don't know, is way more important than the MLB draft. For baseball, in hockey, it's, you know, both the draft and trade deadline is super fun. Baseball, the draft sort of takes a back seat. It happens mid-season. Most of the players you've never heard of in your life. So I think the biggest trade, the trade that we have to talk about here, is the Jack Flaherty to the LA Dodgers trade. Detroit Tigers trading Jack Flaherty. They had him on a one-year deal. This is exactly why they signed him, was as a reclamation project. He had struggled for 4 years. And they flipped him at the deadline after having like a 2.95 ERA. He was killing it. Yep. The sad part is he got a weaker return than Kikuchi did for the Jays. and they waited until the last minute of the trade deadline. Like I was on Twitter, like as the moment, and oh, finally Flaherty gets moved. And they got two prospects. They got a switch hitting power catcher in the minors named Lorenzo, I don't know. He slots in as the fifth highest rated prospect in the Tiger system right now, which is
that's pretty big. Tigers have a good prospect system.
They do. They're top heavy. They do have a good prospect system. So we'll take that. The second player they got is Sweeney. I don't know if they have any relation to Sydney Sweeney or Sweeney Todd, the demon barber of Fleet Street. So we'll have to do some digging. I'm not sure if they got the right Sweeney they were looking for there. They might still be on the market for another Sweeney, but this person is a shortstop, a former first rounder from New York, a left-handed hitter. It is what it is. Like they got two pieces for a guy on a one-year deal, and the Dodgers got a much-needed starting pitching arm from a rotation that's taken a beating with both Yamamoto and I believe Buehler are the two that have been hurt.
So
they were in desperate need of a new arm to sort of get them over the hump. And then the Dodgers also picked up a couple other guys as well, one of which, as we mentioned, was Kevin Kiermaier, who's just an elite defensive center fielder. And who apparently also announced that he was retiring after this year.
Yeah, he is retiring. And honestly, he was put on outright. And the day after he gets put on outright, he hits a Grand Slam against Arizona, right? And teams are probably like, ew, maybe we should have done it. I thought when he was getting put on there, the Jays were doing him a favor, right? That, okay, they couldn't make a trade that they wanted for him. And honestly, we want you to go win. I think that was – and look, I don't talk highly about Shapiro or Atkins on the show at all. You may as well clip these nice points this episode. I do got some thumbs up to give them. Even though they shouldn't be running the team after this year. It's on point. Kiermaier, such a stud defensively. That guy, defense is a big thing in baseball. Okay, you need someone who can catch a ball and not just catch a ball, but make a game-saving stop. Ninth inning, can reach over the thing. He can do it. He can dive. He's also, like I said about George, he's a team guy. He's a glue guy. He's a leader. He can be in that dugout, and he's going to really help push the guys and motivate them. That's kind of how he is. It's too bad that maybe didn't have the effect on the Blue Jays this season, but it did last year. We got to see the Kiermaier get rejuvenated last year because he had a struggled year before that with the Rays. And, yeah, he did announce his retirement, right? And there was a little bit of a surprise where teams could have got him for free, but the Jays traded him for Yarbrough, who is a relief pitcher, who was also put on outright. So it's kind of like a player that wasn't working out anymore on a team for somebody who was retiring, the Jays trying to do them a favor. And it worked out, and he's going to a team that, let's be honest, is a favorite to win the World Series this year, as long as they can stay healthy. And good move, good move. And I talk about other trades for a minute here. I like Lane Thomas's move from the Guardians. I feel like the Guardians are this team that, you know, they picked first overall this year in the draft that we're going to talk about. They had a good bounce back year, but they have such a strong depth piece. Like, you look at their players, they're not going to have all these Aaron Judges pop out at you. But you know what? Josh Naylor, stud. Ramirez, we don't need to talk about Ramirez. Unreal. Bo Naylor, okay? Like, Rosario, and Stephen Kwan. These guys are just the right ball players. This is a team that has been built really nicely, okay? And I'm not giving Shapiro any credit for that because that was before his time, in my opinion. Probably wrong. Some other trades, the Dodgers, obviously, too. They were not shy on making some moves. Give me Tommy Edmund. There's a guy who just didn't work out with the Cards. And, you know, Kopech going over there, too. The Dodgers are loading up. They want to buy. So that's another thing. I was very surprised that they didn't go after Bo Bichette aggressively. But, you know, if there's a Gavin Lux and a Diego Cartea in that trade, I felt maybe the Jays, if maybe they're just wasn't a trade, but maybe that's an off-season thing. I feel the Orioles bringing Gregory Soto in, and I like the Orioles. I've talked highly about the Orioles. I know Tigers fans know about Soto. There's a good reliever there. They have a good bullpen with Cano. They got Soto. I like what they have there. Overall, the trade deadline, the Brewers were buyers, bringing in Frankie Montas. And the Reds, surprising this year. I was really looking forward to the Reds this year, and I'm going to get their exact stats here. They're 53-58. They're in a tough division with the Brewers doing very well. The Cardinals have bounced back this year. Pirates looking great. The Cubs, they bought a little bit, right? It can be anyone's game in the National League Central, but the Reds, I think, are a little bit surprising. This deadline, I feel, was really good. I liked the deadline. A lot of moves, but the Jays, my goodness, look here. Danny Jansen gets moved. You get Cutter Coffee, Paulino, Bautista, some prospect pieces. Good move. Jansen is an expiring deal. Look, I would have loved the Blue Jays to extend Danny Jansen. I love Danny. I'm not a fan of Alejandro Kirk. I wish Kirk was the guy who left for Varsho, not Moreno. We've had this vent on this podcast before. Okay, but that didn't happen. Kirk is good defensively. But look, the guy can barely run to first base. I can't.
He's got an interesting build, that guy.
Interesting. Probably a glue guy, and he's young. But you know what? Whatever. The Kikuchi trade, as Connor already attested to, makes the Flaherty trade look like a robbery, okay? And Lober Fido watched him these first couple games. Blas goes down. They sent him back down, thankfully. I don't think you should rush him up to this team right now. They decide, and also Wagner. Can't forget about Wagner getting there. His dad was in the MLB, right? It's an expiring deal in a buyer's pitcher's market, though. And I know Astro fans were not happy about this trade. But you know what? again, this is a GM that took advantage. Atkins, can't believe this. Here's my first thumbs up, took advantage of a buyer's market and took his time. The teams knew who the Jays were selling a month ago. They said that we're going to move guys with 1 year left and or guys with control to whatever we feel is the best fit. That at that point started these conversations with these players and these teams. And that's where I think they got ahead of the game. They knew they were out early. They knew it didn't go the way they wanted to. And I think that's why these deals worked out so good. And every trade that they made, I feel, was a very good trade. Kiermaier's even. But for Kikuchi, bringing in three prospects, okay, that are already booster up your depleted farm system. They go from a lower-ranked farm system team to almost a mid-rank, just one deadline, which is so impressive. And that's, again, Shapiro Atkins, very rare thumbs up over here. But you bring in Loperfido, great defender. Great stance. He reminds me a lot, and he's not him, but his stance, being a lefty, is a lot of a Cody Bellinger type stance. Not player. I just see a lot of potential in that swing. Bloss, there's been a lot of comparisons with him, but there's a guy who can be a fourth, fifth pitcher for you in the future. Maybe he ends up being a long reliever. Who knows? But it seems like his numbers in the minors, he's mashing down there. Loperfido was mashing. He's dealing down there is the word that I should be using. Wagner as well as mashing. Everything's going good down there. The moves that they made, Cutter Coffee had a good debut. They brought in guys that have replenished the farm system for guys that are early, some mid-20s. Cutter Coffee's a bit in his mid-20s. Guys who might be able to come up next year and help this team. And Garcia, you know, honestly, bringing in Jonathan Clase. Does anyone know who that is? Well, let me give you a refresher. The guy had 79 stolen bases in the minors and 20 home runs. The guy's 5'9", 165 pounds. He hits. He plays something called small ball. Small ball is what gets you wins. What did the Cleveland, at the time, Cleveland Indians, called the Cleveland Guardians, played the Blue Jays when they won in 2016 against the Blue Jays? I believe it was that year, 2015. It might have been Miller, the 2015. Yeah, that year. Yeah, 16. 16. The Cubs 16. Won that year, right? So 16, they played small ball against Jays. They got on first, stole second all the time. Then they had a guy come up. They had their lineup nice out. I'm trying to remember some names. They had starts with a K, Jason Kipnis. I'm trying to remember some names. They had their lineup base nice, and they get hits, and guys got in. Clase is a guy who already goes in the top 10 of the Jays farm system, if not near the top 5 last I looked, and there is a guy who can get stolen bases, bat at the bottom of the order, bunt for the top guys to come up and get the job done. Kudos to the Blue Jays. And I know we're hitting the 17-minute mark here, Connor. So the deadline overall, Connor, I'm going to give you the floor to wrap it up. I talked about as much as I could there, try to get everything out as much as I could. You got to give thumbs up to the Blue Jays. I know people disagree, but I think the Marlins did a good job too. I like what the Marlins did by not trading Chaz Chisholm. They should have kept Jazz. I feel like he's a corner piece. They always trade these guys. They're like the Oakland Athletics. They lose these guys when they get good. And now the Marlins' payroll is lower than what Judge makes in a year, okay? That's absolutely unbelievable. This team almost feels like it's going to be in poverty for a long time, but they've made a lot of good moves. They have a very impressive, I believe it's a top 3 farm system in the whole MLB. And so I think you got to give them a little bit of credit and give them a little bit of patience because this team is going to come up, and I got to give them credit for their trade deadline. The Blue Jays, the Marlins, and I wish I can put the Tigers on that for the trade deadline moves, but you know what? They are not on it. I got to give 3 to an obvious Los Angeles Dodgers. I feel like they really, really rounded out the team, a team that's had some injury issues. And once they're healthy by playoff time, they might accomplish their main goal. Connor, any final thoughts about the deadline?
Yeah, no, I think the Dodgers did exactly what they needed to do is inject some life into the lineup to, you know, stabilize things until people get healthy. That's what they needed to do, and that's what they did.
Danny Jansen is a Red Sox, though. My goodness. Times are something. Times are something. Connor, baseball draft before we get to your blind ranking test.
Yeah, so I got 3 players that I want to talk about very briefly. First and foremost, the first overall pick of the MLB draft this year goes to the Cleveland Guardians, and they selected Travis Bazana, who is a second baseman out of Oregon. And interestingly enough, he's the first ever Australian player drafted first overall in the MLB draft.
So cool.
Which is pretty neat. Yeah. One of the other interesting things is, as a second baseman, he's not exactly playing what you would call a premium position. Second base is very important, but it's basically the little brother to shortstop. And the premium positions are center field, shortstop, pitcher, catcher, up the middle defense. Now, second base is technically up the middle, so it's also very important. But a draft like this goes to show that, you know, if you can hit the ball really well, which is exactly what Bezanna does, they'll find a place for you. And this guy can do it. He can mash, he can hit. Not quite as much as the person who went third overall, the most popular player in the MLB draft this year, Charlie Condon. 6'6". He's the best hitter in college. The Colorado Rockies snatched him up as the third overall pick, and his hitting numbers are ridiculous. Like, he's one of the best hitting prospects I think we've seen in years. He batted .430 with power this year in college. Ridiculous. I think he hit about 35 home runs on a through 300 plate appearances, which, you know, when you get about 500-600 plate appearances in the MLB, the equivalent is like 70 home runs at, you know, a .430 batting average. Ridiculous.
Scary then, stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll that's a guy where, like, I don't care what position, you know.
Figure it out. First, you put him at DH, left field,
right field. You find a spot for him.
Find a spot.
And then third, Bryce Rainer, Detroit Tigers, shortstop. Second-rated high school player in the draft this year, but some people had him at the highest-rated high school player in the draft. He was coming into this year as one of the top pitching high school prospects, but you know, he just had a really great year at shortstop, and the Tigers snatched him up. And their top three picks were all high schoolers. Last year, their top three picks were all high schoolers. Clearly, the timeline is to build through that sort of era, which suggests that a guy like Tarik Skubal, who is one of the best pitchers in baseball right now, who's pitching for essentially league mitt. Like, he's about as cheap as you can find a guy, and he's pitching about as good as you can ever pitch. That's a guy where, with two more years of team control, you could probably get an absolute haul for him. And I mean,
they should have traded him. I'm sorry. I know we talked about deadline, but if I'm the Skubal, if I'm the Tigers, I'm looking at the Orioles. Okay. Who do I want is what you look at that system. They should be looking at the Orioles and saying that conversation does not start without Jackson Holliday's name being brought up. Yeah. Right. And then that's where it expedites. I'm so, again, we're not at the deadline again, but I'm so surprised, but he's such a stud.
And that was the link, right? Is two more years. Now the Tigers, even with Skubal, only have like three MLB starting pitchers in their rotation right now, because everybody's either hurt or traded or sucks. So they're doing a lot of these like bullpen only games. It's rough, but those are my MLB draft guys to watch out for. Charlie Condon to the Rockies, Travis Bonanza to the Cleveland Guardians, and then my guy Bryce Rainer to the Detroit Tigers.
Love that. You know what I forgot to say before we go to your blind ranking, because we want this to be a clip, right? Last episode, we talked about Vlad. I gave 2 points about the Jays. Atkins and Shapiro should not be running this team, making the big deal trades. Bo, I'm not going to say Vlad because I got Vlad in a second. Bo or if it's Gausman, Bassett, those big franchise potentially altering moves where you can bring in a pivotal young piece or something, that needs to happen in the offseason. That's something I really stressed about after you fire these guys. But after this deadline, I hope they didn't buy time with Rodgers. Okay, you got to look at this year and do a whole change, because this team should be a quick retool, not a change. But my rant is going to go back to Vladimir Guerrero Jr., okay? I didn't get a chance to do a clip about this because of the date, and I want to give it a pure less than 60-second rant about Vlad, okay? Everyone knows, okay, that I cheer for the Blue Jays, okay? And and Connor's a Tigers fan. We talk about all the teams, though. Look at what we did. But behind me is a Vladimir Guerrero Jr., okay? I can't turn. Doesn't matter. Throughout my time, I've seen Roy Halladay, Carlos Delgado. I've seen Edwin Encarnacion. I was too young for Joe Carter's home run. I've seen Jose Bautista. I've bought in a few jerseys in my life. I bought in a Bautista jersey. I had a Roy Halladay jersey and a shirt. And I've purchased a Vladimir Guerrero Jr. jersey. Okay. Oh, and Josh Donaldson. Those are the four. Okay. Donaldson, a couple years. I don't know why I bought that. But if you think of those names, did those guys finish their careers with the Blue Jays? No, none of them. None of them did. Delgado didn't. Bautista didn't. Encarnacion didn't. I cannot think back and look back at somebody who has been with this team from start to finish. Is that different in today's era? 100%. 100%. But is Judge going to ever leave the Yankees? Nope. He's not. Is Trout ever going to leave the Angels? Maybe. He probably can't because he's injured all the time. So maybe not. My point is Aaron Judge, drafted by the Yankees, captain of the Yankees, re-signed this year long-term. He's long-term deal until he's almost 40, if not even when he is 40. He's not going anywhere. I want the Blue Jays to have somebody that is going to be there for a lifetime. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. was technically born in Canada. He has the Canada bloodline in him, okay? And he joined the Blue Jays because, long story short, Alex Anthopoulos went to visit him, one of the only GMs to do what he did to impress his mother and his family. That's apparently the story of somebody that I know that I won't name just in case they message me and listen to the show, and I was wrong. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. needs to be a Blue Jay for life, okay? So let me tell you this. He has been the best hitter in the MLB for the last month. He had a slow start, but this is somebody who has been a tremendous piece of this team and organization, fan favorite. He's been Blue Jay written all over him. The fans need to have somebody that they can always look at and think as the face of this team, someone who has been here, been that Aaron Judge to the Yankees, who he will be. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., let me tell you this. Three words, pay the man. Pay the man, okay? That man has, not just because of this last couple months or the last 30, 50 days, this man needs to get paid. You need to go to him this offseason, blank check. What do you want? How do you want it? We'll get it for you. I don't care if it's Shapiro, Adkins, the new GM, if it's Cito Gaston comes out of retirement. I really don't care. Somebody go and sit down with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and his representatives, or like tonight. They should do it tonight. Never mind wait till this offseason. Do it tonight. Whenever, go sit with them and be like, we want you. You are this team. We want you to stay here. What do you want? Pay the man. 20, 25? No, 30. Give him $30 million. Give him a front-loaded deal. Give him a Shohei Ohtani contract where you pay him 65 cents a year until he hits 40 years old. I really don't care. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. needs to get paid and needs to stay on this team. He is a heartbeat. He's a character guy. He's a great ball player. He has power. If he left this team, he would go join whatever other team he joins, and guarantee you this from a Toronto fan. He will hit 40, 50 home runs a year. He'll do a home run that will eliminate the Blue Jays from the playoffs. He'll do a home run to eliminate them from the World Series. Whatever it is, that is what karma will do, because that's what we are here in Toronto. Let's change the script. Pay the man. Keep the man. That is somebody you build this team around. It's Vlad Jr. And All-Stars will look and come here because of that man right here, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Pay the man. Three words. Rant. Connor.
Love it. I mean, if I'm willing to buy his bat, then the Jays should be willing to pick up his contract.
Rogers Media, baby. They're rich as hell. You were going to pay Shohei whatever the hell you were going to pay him, true or not, $70 million. Is Vlad Shohei? No, he's not. He's not a pitcher. I get it. But you need to keep these guys. You need to keep this guy. Okay, if you trade him, you better get a Jackson Holiday, Jackson Holiday, and a Jackson Holiday, and a Jackson Holiday. I want four Jackson Holidays, okay? I don't want one. I want four. This guy is irreplaceable. You keep this guy. Pay the man. Yeah, do
he's
it.
He's a cornerstone, Dave. He's a cornerstone.
Pam. Blind ranking, Connor, because we go overtime here. We like to have a little bit of fun.
Yeah, we're shooting for 15 minutes tonight, eh?
Baseball news is hot, man, and we've had some time away. All right, blind ranking. I don't need to explain the details. If you need to understand what a blind ranking is, comment below. We'll explain it to you. Go look at some of our other videos, okay? Connor Henderson's getting put through the blind ranking MLB version, baby. We're going to give you five batters, and you're going to list them one to five based on what you know, my friend. Let's go. And I'm going to get the clip ready. There we go. First name, Bryce Harper.
Three.
Okay, you got Harper, three. Number two, Eloy De La Cruz.
Four?
Okay. Number three, Aaron Judge.
Oh, Jesus. I think Judge is better. Two.
Two? Okay.
Let's go.
Adley Rutschman. You got 5 and 1 left.
Five.
Okay. This puts your number one as Julio Rodriguez. So you got number one, Julio Rodriguez, number two, Aaron Judge, number three, Bryce Harper, number four, Eloy De La Cruz, and number five, Adley Rutschman.
You might as well just flip the list upside down. I don't even know.
I love it. I love it. There you go. So what do you rate your first ever blind ranking, Connor?
Bad. I don't know.
That is great. We're going to do that, but we're going to do different things. Pitchers, batters, catchers, teams. I don't know. We're going to have a little bit of fun with that.
Red as a tomato right now, Dave. All right, get me out of here.
I love it. That's great. Comment below what you think how Connor did. Okay, we'd love it. Next up, we got segment two coming up here on the game. But before I do that, I got to say bye to you, Connor. Almost forgot that. Thank you for taking the time. We'll have you on again here. We're now in August. So as listeners know, we get to our vacations barely coming up soon. So we're going to be off from the 19th until after Labor Day, unless some big news comes out in the world of baseball or something to talk about. Then, of course, we'll do a clip or we'll have something for you. But we are going to have a show. We are looking at, if not next week, we'll for sure have one on the 18th, posted on the 19th before we go on vacation. So there might be one or two shows left, and I'll make sure, since baseball is getting hot, Connor's on them, and we'll make it work wherever we can with Connor. But until we can get you on again next time, Connor, appreciate you taking the time, my friend. It's always a joy.
Absolutely, Dave. Can't wait to talk soon.
I can't wait to get chirped about going 15 minutes over again. Love it. Love it. Thanks again to Connor. And just so if everyone wants to know about the 91N Pandas, we have one more baseball game left. So if you're wondering about local baseball chat about our men's league that we love talking about, you're going to save that for the next episode. We'd like to fill that in. We'll save until the next one. But I'm going to take a break. When we come back, we got segment two here on the game. Don't go anywhere. And welcome back to the Game Sports Podcast. Dave McKay continuing to host you this evening. I am joined by my other co-host here on the Game Sports Podcast, someone you see all the time here on the game, Alex Parr. My friend, how's it going?
It's going well. Just so everybody at home knows, Dave's had 15 minutes for this segment. So if you're following along, keeping your tallies, place your bets now on it going the over.
Oh, 100% if you go the over, but maybe we can surprise today because we did have a longer segment with Connor when it was supposed to be. But, you know, we like to, on these pre-recorded shows, I guess time management isn't really a thing, but we try to manage it. And for those who do manage it, don't worry about it. We have fun here anyways. Okay, Alex, my friend, You're having your coffee. I have nothing here, to be honest with you. Usually I have a beverage going with me, but I don't. Today I got my
5 o'clock somewhere.
Yeah, 100%. We got kind of a different – last episode we called the smorgasbord is what I called the episode because we just had a variety of things to get to. And it's going to be very similar for you and I today. And I'm excited because obviously the busy sport right now is baseball. A lot of the news is baseball, but basketball is getting flooded. Obviously the Olympics is going on. There's a lot going on in the Olympics. And if you're following along with the Olympics, Parr and I aren't going to really get into that. But I will mention that I feel like – in the Olympics this year, Canada has had a lot of fourth and fifth place finishes. It's just the story of Canada's life. But you know what? Great storylines at the Olympics. And there's also some not so great storylines that have flooded around. But we're not going to get into that today just because of time constraints. But obviously, baseball Olympics is with flooding sports. But Parr and I are going to be talking about SummerSlam and hockey. We're going to find other two things to talk about before we wrap up because we've already talked about baseball. So let's get into the two that we plan to talk about. On the next episode, we'll definitely dive into the Olympics in a little bit more detail for you, an all-around reaction. Parr, SummerSlam. You and I texted back and forth. It's been a busy weekend. It's a long weekend here in Canada, obviously, with the civic holiday, and that's where we're actually recording on the civic holiday. So, Alex, SummerSlam, I told you that I predicted a few outcomes to happen. And why we're talking about SummerSlam, if you're curious to know, we know it's entertainment. We know it's a joy, but it's the WWE is cooking right now. Okay. WWE is cooking. Okay. If you are an Attitude Era person it is time to reinvest back if you haven't yet. If you haven't yet, though, I'd be so shocked, because months and months and months and months ago, when it was WrestleMania, before that, even with The Rock coming back, things were starting to cook, and things are cooking. But there were some things that I predicted at SummerSlam to happen. And if you haven't watched SummerSlam, spoiler alert, maybe hit pause and go see the review. Okay, I gave you 3 seconds, sort of, to hit pause on the video. Liv Morgan, Rhea Ripley, Dominic Mysterio comes on out. I have said this. I do not have the clip. I said that Dominic Mysterio would turn on Rhea, and it happened. And I don't know. I thought that wasn't a surprise part. I think you didn't call it.
I saw a tweet that said, I think Dominic Mysterio is the only person that was a heel to turn more heel after the fact. Yeah, it's good for the story, and the fans are really behind Rhea, so it makes sense to try to shift her away from the bad boy faction of the Judgment Day and get that true fan support behind her and flip it in a good way. And yeah, everybody loves to hate Dom. The whole thing is when he's out there, you're booing. So may as well capitalize on it and get some more genuine reactions to him coming out when he does.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, you know, the Rhea Ripley story, Liv Morgan, if those two, like Rhea Ripley's in tremendous shape. Okay. Like she takes good care of herself. She's, I think, honestly,
jacked.
Yeah,
she's huge.
Yeah, she's in great shape. And nothing against Liv Morgan. Okay, Liv Morgan's also, you know, very athletic. But in a real go, I know people always say in a real go, Rhea would win. You know what? You can't assume that. We don't know who knows what in a fight. But that was tremendous athleticism in that match. I feel like there's a lot of good talent in that ring between Rhea and Liv. And as soon as Dom put that steel chair in there, you're like, okay, I know what's happening here. And it happened, and it's great for the storyline. And Judgment Day, the group Judgment Day, had a very bad day at SummerSlam. There was a lot of things happened, which can transition us to our next point. Priest lost his heavyweight title due to the help, of one of his members in Judgment Day, Par.
Yeah, I was sitting on my couch going, oh, like every match from that show advanced the story in such a meaningful and impactful way. So it'll be very interesting to see what route they take now for War Games, which will usually be their team versus team. I mean, a lot of people have been saying it'll be the Bloodline, Team Roman versus Team Rock, but it could also be two different versions of the Judgment Day in there. Now that you have it split right down the middle, yeah, you could kind of you build up the teams a little bit more, have a 4v4 or 5v5 kind of action. But yeah, with Finn Balor picking his side and Dom picking his side, and now you got Liv coming over too, there's a lot of different ways that you can do it. I really wanted this swerve to happen when Priest was the Money in the Bank holder and for him to turn heel. But like you said at the start, WWE's cooking. So I'm just going to let the chef do his thing. I'm not a cook, so I'm not going to get in there. I'm not putting any spices in there. I'm going to let them do what they do. I'm going to eat it up, and I'm going to see if I like it or not.
Honestly, and you mentioned there, going to the next point, Roman Reigns and The Rock. You know, the WrestleMania was the Avengers end game, or like we call it the end game was WrestleMania, right? But you with Solo, I don't think he should ever win a title. It's not a fan of Solo. Not great, but he's doing a great job.
I thought he was really good on Saturday night. I'm not like the biggest Solo guy either. So I was really, I'm like, okay, he's in this main event spot. Let's see how he does. I thought he was great. I thought he sold Crossroads excellent. I thought he was like moving in the air well. So tip of the cap to him. But yeah,
let him go. Let the chef cook, right? They're seeing something in Solo, and he's doing good. But when Roman Reigns comes out and gets the fans with the hoo-ha, right? And he just absolutely cucks Solo with a spear. It was great. And Cody Rhodes is sitting there like, oh, okay, am I next? Am I getting this next? And he just looks at him and nods and walks off. Like this, that storybook, right? You're going to have Roman and Cody. They're going to team up. I imagine there'll be a rematch down the road one day, you know, for Roman and Cody, like maybe down the road. But Roman Reigns, Cody team up, you know, with Randy Orton, Kevin Owens against, you know, The Rock, Solo and all that. I am so for that, right? I think that'd be great. I'm just waiting for Paul Heyman to come back, but I'm hoping he's enjoying a nice little vacation. The guy had stayed up for 24 hours before he got his beat up, quote unquote, and just, you know, take a little vacation. But it was a great main event.
So let's hop on a flight and go out to Vancouver in November and go watch War Games.
That's
Dave,
what
I'm telling you, man. Like, you got to go at some point. And if even there's an inkling of a thought that The Rock might be there, how many more times are you going to have a chance to be able to see him, especially in Canada?
Probably not much. Probably
maybe
not.
This is it. Maybe.
Honestly, Triple H is cooking. And the main event, Cody walks away with the championship belt again. Great entertainment. Look, you know, it's you don't have to be, oh, it's fake. It's entertaining. Yeah, whatever. It is. But they do I think people are starting to do a better job that, like, Solo did a great job selling the Crossroads. Like, they're doing a better job. I feel like the WWE is really investing in the background to make these wrestlers more, like, better actors, per se. May make that easier for listeners and viewers to understand. I'm liking the entertainment, but the storylines is what's really making it cook. And it's because it's bringing back the old ones, and it's the wrestlers, the new ones, the Attitude Era ones, whatever ones you want to reference to, are doing a great job.
It's the same as a movie. People playing characters and getting you to buy into things that aren't real. But for a moment in time, maybe you forget about that and you're just focused on the story. That's all it is, you know? I know these people aren't punching each other in the face. Sometimes I do, on accident.
Yeah, a little accident. But, oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, but, you know, just entertainment. It's theater, if you will.
Yes. Awesome stuff. Awesome stuff. SummerSlam, great. Nice, nicely done. I did more of the recap. I was occupied this weekend, so I didn't get the chance to really watch.
Yeah, and I only watched the last three matches. Also, shout out CM Punk. That was, like, probably the first match I'd seen since.
Forgot about that match.
Yeah, his first singles match in WWE since 2014. Maybe, like, only my first or second match I'd seen in its entirety. I know when he went to AEW, he was botching all over. He couldn't stay on his feet. He stunk. That match, hats off to him. He looked great. It was awesome. Just such a good match. And I think they pulled the trigger on Drew there. I think that's the right call.
Yeah, 100%. And at the end, a little Seth Rollins turn, create a little rivalry, whatever, a little friction. Storylines are cooking in the WWE. Let us know what you think about the WWE, if you're reinvested or not. Par. And when it comes to the National Hockey League, you know, there's not too much to really dive into. There's been news.
I was gonna say, like, what are you even trying to get at here?
There's not been too much movement, so we're gonna utilize the time that we have for the National Hockey League portion of the show to do more clip worthy kind of content, that being our 93 redraft, and we're also going to do another blind ranking. But honestly, you know, the NHL season is fast approaching, as crazy that may sound. It's currently August 5th, and puck drops in less than 2 months. And as Parr said a couple episodes back, this season was so long. Everything was long. Playoffs, long. The draft was the next day, essentially. It wasn't.
And then free agency a day after that.
Yeah, and then you've had all these things. I get the entertainment factor, but look, you know, it's okay to have a slight disconnect. And this August, I'm okay if the news is a little bit less when it comes to hockey. I am great with that, and we can talk about things that are currently going that are hot topics, baseball, the Olympics, etc. But we're going to use this content to do our two clips for the 1993 NHL redraft and our blind ranking. So I want to go first to the NHL redraft. So Parr and I like to do a redraft of the top five of the current year that we are discussing. So we're going to go back and forth with doing that with you. You can leave a comment below on what you think. And again, 1993, Parr, you get to go first. Who are your top five if you're picking them today?
If I'm picking them today, I'm going to go 5-1. I'm going to start, as Pierre Maguire said, the man with a big stick, Hal Gill, going number five. I got Saku Koivu at number four. Jason Arnott, number three. Paul Kariya. God, it would have been nice to see a few more games out of that guy at number two. And number one defenseman, Chris Pronger.
We do love defense and longevity here on this podcast. A little bit different. I'm going to go from 5-1 also. The Florida Panthers are proud to select with the fifth overall pick, Pavel Dimitra. The fourth overall pick, the Anaheim Mighty Ducks, are proud to select Saku Koivu. The third overall pick, the Tampa Bay Lightning, are proud to select Jason Arnott. With the second overall pick, the Hartford Whalers are proud to select Chris Pronger. No change. With the first overall pick, the Ottawa Senators are proud to select Paul Kariya. I agree. You need to have – I wish we would have saw more games from Paul. I know Scott Stevens didn't really help that. And that's somebody that I was really wanting – somebody that I know knows him, and I really wanted to get him on this podcast. And I was told by that person, he doesn't do podcasts. He doesn't do anything. He's off. Grid. He gets asked to do podcasts all the time, and I haven't seen him on Spit and Chicklets, so if I'm wrong, someone please correct me, but I haven't seen him even on there, and I know from a source they've asked him, and if someone from there wants to chirp me how I leaked that, that's fine. Going from secondhand information again, but Paul Kariya, you know, that was a stud talent for sure, and he was great at the college level. My father-in-law talks very highly about him, and again, I wish I would have saw him more, and I think it would have been great to see him in a Canadian team jersey. Like, imagine what he could have done with Daniel Alfredson in Ottawa, or what he could have done with that team in Ottawa that kept losing to Toronto in the early thousands. Fun fact. Dream on. But Paul Kariya, great. I think that's either way, Chris Pronger, Kariya, doesn't matter where you go 1-2. I think either or is a good pick. All right, blind ranking. Okay. If you don't know what a blind ranking is, I'm not going to explain it again this week, but I'm going to give Par 5 names in any order, and he's going to rank them from 5 to 1 based on who I name without knowing who's next.
I like how you said I'm not going to explain it and then explained it word for word exactly what it is.
I did that on purpose because I felt like it was necessary. Thanks for saying that for me. That's great. Blind ranking. Here we go, Par.
Okay.
This is going to be a little bit, I think, an easier one for Par than it was last week. If you haven't seen last week's, go check it out.
Roman Yossi coming in at the end. What a joke.
It was great.
What a joke.
Blind ranking. First player.
And these players? Just players?
Yes. Yes. Just players, ranking them based on talent. Based on talent, what you know.
Today? Currently? How they're talented today or all encompassing?
That's a great question. Let's go with today.
Okay.
Going with today. Alexander Ovechkin.
4.
Sidney Crosby.
2.
Ooh. Braden Point.
3. I like this so far. I need the best and the worst now. Oh, no.
Leon Draisaitl.
You have 1 left. I'll go 1. Leon, yeah.
Auston Matthews.
Nah, he's not 5. Damn it.
So to recap, you have Leon 1, you have Crosby 2, you have Braden Point 3, you have Ovechkin 4, and you have Matthews 5.
I would put Matthews at 2, and that would be my only change to that, and then bump everybody down. I think it was really close, though. It was really close. I really liked 1 through 4.
No, it's good. These blind rankings, we love the interaction on social media. So please, you know, follow along. Please put your take in. We're going to do different ones each week. I might even do 10. Might throw Par for a massive loop and throw 10 players in next
time. I'd be so down for an episode where we just did blind rankings. We both brought like 3 to the table and then just went back and forth. And then you'd have like a bunch of clips too.
Yeah, that's good. We'd like to do clips here on the show because we know you like clips. The viewers like clips. They like interaction. We know that. You know that. We like to say that we know everything, but at the end of the day.
But we do.
We do. And we like to have fun. But Par, like I said at the beginning, I know people have been asking, hey, are you going to talk about the Olympics on your podcast? Look, the Olympics are happening every day. It's hard to talk about. I can recap about Simone Biles. I could talk about that controversy in the boxing ring. You could talk about the Canadians that are like DeGrasse not making it on. There's obviously a lot we can get into about the Olympics. But due to time constraints today, and B, just because of the ever going, we're just going to wait till the end of the Olympics to do a full little recap of it for you and our reaction at that point. So I've had a couple texts about it. It will come. Okay.
Woo, Summer McIntosh. Yeah.
Yeah. Summer. Oh, so good. I was so surprised to see Penny in more events. Like, so surprising. Talent is really growing. A lot of young talent at the Olympics. Very impressive. Very good stuff. All right, Alex. I want to say thank you for taking the time. This is the conclusion of the show today. Par's at the end of the show. Usually he's at the beginning to the end, but today he jumped in segment 2 and he didn't get to hear the introduction, but he gets to hear the ending still.
Are you wearing the same shirt that you wore for the first segment? Were you that dedicated to doing it?
150%. And if you must know, I kept it on the back of this chair with the knowledge with the knowledge knowing, and because underneath it I have a black workout shirt because I was out mowing the lawn. Okay. If you want to know, we do breaks in between. Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry for ruining the movie magic for anybody, but I was curious to see if you were that dedicated to it. I respect that.
Always. If I know I'm doing pre-recordings, I have the same shirt at the ready. So just to remind listeners, we do have our August vacation. As I talked about the first, August 19th will be our last episode that we're uploading. We should and plan to have one next week, but if not, we'll for sure have one on the 19th for you. But we will have our 2-week vacation that will take us until after Labor Day. And then guess what? We are back to more frequent episodes per se, weekly episodes, either one or two per week we'll have because of football starting, hockey's around there. We'll have baseball still cooking at that point. There'll be a lot to get to, and we have special editions planned. So definitely keep your calendars, marked for the Game Sports Podcast content. But please note, we will have a 2-week vacation that we do at the end of August every year. Okay, so Par, I want to say thank you very much again for taking the time, my friend.
No, thank you.
Of course. And I want everyone out there to have, the time to interact with us because we enjoy it. And please comment below on his blind rank. Those are fun. I love it. So until next time, I'm here to remind you, keep your stick on the ice, swing your bats, catch touchdowns, drain your threes, and shoot your shots. Booyah.